2 Timothy chapter 4. But we're going to read down through verse 8, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So let's ask God to bless his word. Heavenly Father, bless your word today. God, again, we praise your name for your goodness to men. Just have your way in this service, and may the Holy Spirit deal with hearts in a way, God, that would help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If someone's lost today, I pray that today would be the day that the Holy Spirit quickens them and shows them their need of a Savior. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. You know, this passage, I don't know if probably most of you or some of you have probably been to a preacher's ordination. And this is the passage that's most generally preached at the ordination of a preacher. This is what they often call the charge. And Paul here is giving these words to Timothy, isn't he? And Timothy, he considered his son in the faith, didn't he? But another thing about this passage is you might consider this Paul's last words. These are some of the things he said. He knew he was about to die. You'll see that there in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He was talking about leaving this world. And you know, any of us at any time could leave this world. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the next hour holds. So it's important that you and I know where we're going when we leave this world, isn't it? But Paul said, I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? You need to be ready if you're not ready. Isn't that so? Nothing's making money's great, and having nice things is fine, and having family's wonderful. But if you're not ready to go, that's nothing. You need to be ready, don't you? He said, I finished my course. I finished my course. He tells Timothy here to preach the word. Preach the word. The Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, God can do what he wants, and he does, by the way. But he has chosen to use preaching. For some reason, known only to him, he has chosen to use the foolishness. Man thinks it's foolish, but God has chosen to use the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And our churches today, and I use the word churches in quotation marks, they've went away from preaching, a lot of them, and turned to entertainment. They think that the way to win people is entertainment. Well, you can win people to entertainment, but remember what you've won them with, you've won them to. And if you don't have entertainment next week, then they won't be back. you can't build a New Testament church on entertainment. Now, you might build a big crowd. You might be able to fill a football stadium. But you can't build a New Testament church on entertainment. The Bible says to preach the Word. Preach the Word. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, but you can look at it later if you like. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." The preaching of the cross is the power of God. Preaching is still what God uses. And by the way, when I say preaching, I don't necessarily mean a preacher. All of us here are preachers in the regard that we proclaim the gospel. You can preach the gospel to a coworker or a family member or a friend. You can tell them about salvation in Christ. All of us can do that, and all of us should do that. It's not just something It's not just something that we could do. It's something that we should do. All of us need to be a witness. The word preach means to proclaim or to herald something. To proclaim or to herald something. And you know what, if you look that word up, it gives a reference to a town crier. Now, we don't have town criers. We've got the internet today. But a town crier back in the day would every so often come out and go up and down the street and make announcements. He would make some kind of announcements. Maybe there was going to be a meeting or maybe there was going to be a hanging. Or maybe there was, whatever it was, he announced that. He was a town crier. Well, our job is we are to herald the gospel. We're to herald the gospel. So there's some things here in this passage that I want to draw your attention to this morning. And I think, again, you know, if somebody's passing away, like Paul, he felt like he was about to go, that he was going to die. Their last words are important, aren't they? These are important words. So, number one, I want you to understand something here. There is a judgment coming. There is a judgment coming. Notice what he said there in verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." There is a judgment coming, folks. Every person that's ever took a breath on this earth is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to judge the quick. That means the alive. And he's going to judge the dead at his appearing. He's going to judge the quick and the dead. So number one, there's a judgment coming. The Bible tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, what? The judgment. So when you and I leave this body we're in, this house of clay, when we leave this, we're heading to the judgment. We've all got an appointment. It's appointed unto man. Do you understand that? You've got an appointment with death. That's not very pleasant to think about, but it's a fact. You've got an appointment with death. It's appointed unto man once to die. But after this, the judgment. The Bible says in Romans 14 that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We're heading to the judgment. We're heading to the judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good are bad. Now, I'm not going to get into the weeds of what judgment's this and what judgment's that. I'm just trying to tell you today, you're heading to the judgment. You're heading to the judgment. All of us are. Saved or lost, we're all heading to the judgment. When you die, you're heading to the judgment. Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So Paul said, preach the word. Why should we preach the word? Because judgment's coming. Amen. Judgment's coming. Our nation has become a people who hate God and hate God's word. But I've got news for the people of this nation. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. We are, as a nation, and I'm talking in general terms here, as a nation, we are hell-bent. We have thrown off the Bible. We've thrown off the restraints of Christianity. We've thrown off, to the best of our ability as a nation, we've thrown off God. And it's been a downhill run ever since I was a kid. And as the Bible says, in this country, truth has fallen in the streets. And justice or judgment has turned away backward. They're putting people in jail that shouldn't be in jail and letting people out of jail that should stay in jail. That's the way it is today. We're living in a strange time today, aren't we? It's a very strange time. And if I want to tell you today, if you die without knowing Christ, then you're hell bound. You're hell bound. You know, once you die, there is no second chance. The Roman Catholic folks teach that you can die and then you can, if I give the Catholic Church enough money, I can buy you up out of purgatory. But there is, I'd laugh too, there is no purgatory. That's right. Purgatory is not in the Bible. If you die, that's it. That's it. There is no second chance. People need to know that, don't they? The world may mock and jeer at Jesus Christ and his people now, but one day they'll bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. These same people that make fun of Christians now, one day they won't make fun of Christians. Every person is going to stand before Jesus Christ one day. There's no exceptions to that. And there's only one plea. And there's only one way to escape hell, isn't there? And there's only one way to avoid condemnation, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is it. There is no other way. That is by trusting Jesus Christ to be your sin bearer. That is trusting Jesus Christ to be your substitute. That is trusting Jesus Christ for him to impute his righteousness to you. That's the only hope you and I have, friends. There is no other hope. There is no other plea. To repent and believe the gospel. So I want to say, number one, Paul here mentions to Timothy, he said, preach the gospel because there's a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming. I want to tell you something. God hadn't changed and the Bible hadn't changed and the truth hadn't changed and there's a judgment coming. Number two, truth will be rejected. Truth will be rejected. He tells Timothy that, doesn't he? You know, we get all bent out of shape and we're so shocked that people reject the truth. We shouldn't be. The Bible says right here, doesn't it? Look at it. For the time, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Well, they will not endure sound doctrine today. As a matter, they don't like it at all. Sound doctrine. truth is rejected today. Verse 3 goes on to say, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Do you know what that means? That means they're going to find preachers and teachers that tell them what they want to hear. That's what that means. They want their ears tickled. They don't want to hear the truth. The truth's the best thing ever happened to you. If you went to the doctor and you had cancer real bad and he looked at you and he said, well, I think you're going to be all right. I wouldn't worry about it too much. And you died a few months later, you would, everybody in your family would say that doctor was a quack. But he didn't want to hurt your feelings, so he said, I think it'll be okay. We've got a lot of spiritual doctors that are quacks, patting sinners on the head and telling them they're okay when they need to be told the truth. The truth. Jesus is the truth.
Yes.
And the truth, what? Will set you free. The truth will set you free. Truth will be rejected. The apostle here is talking to Timothy. I want you to think about this because I think it's important that we realize this. When we read this, we think of the world, but I want you to know he's talking about church people here. He's saying when they will not endure sound doctrine, he's talking about church people who won't endure sound doctrine. He's talking about church people who are going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away, verse 4 says, their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. I'm afraid to tell you today, we've got a lot of men in the pulpits that are teaching fables and preaching fables rather than preaching the truth. Preach the word. Preach the word, he said. I just want to give you a couple things. I want to say this. Preach the word, not opinions. Not opinions. My opinion and $1.29, if you'll go over to your Speedway, I'll get you a small coffee. Don't preach opinions, preach the Bible. Preach the Bible, don't preach traditions. And I've preached a lot about traditions because that's a problem. And I'm not against good traditions. And I'm not against traditions that really don't have any bearing on anything. But I'm against bad traditions. And I'm not going to fight with you over a tradition that's not in the Bible. Preach the Bible. Preach the Bible, not ceremony. You know, a lot of churches get hung up on ceremonies. We've always done it this way. That's wonderful. I'm glad you've always done it this way. But is that in the Bible? I can tell you right now, as a Baptist preacher, I'm a Baptist. As a Baptist preacher, if you tell me something and it don't sound right to me, or if I'm thinking, well, that's a nice little tradition there, I'm going to look you in your eyeball and I'm going to say, is that in the Bible? And if it is, that's fine. But if it's not, just leave me alone. Amen. Now, I'm not against traditions. I'm not against traditions as long as they're good traditions. But if you're preaching traditions, you're messed up. And a lot of churches preach tradition, don't they? They preach ceremonies. They preach, you know, the Catholic Church, and I'm not just picking on the Catholics this morning, but the Catholic Church is full of traditions and full of ceremonies. And they preach that. They put that ahead of the Word of God. That's why they're in such a mess. So the Word of God, Paul said, preach the Word. The Word is our weapon, isn't it? The Word is our weapon. If you want to see somebody saved, they need to hear the Word of God. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. But the average Christian today cannot endure sound doctrine. Do you know how many Christians today, when you tell them something out of the Bible, they say, yeah, but I feel. Well, I'm going to be just as nice as I can, but who cares what you feel? The Bible says, when you say the Bible says, they say, yeah, but our church believes. Or they say, yeah, but I think. I was trying to be nice, Brother Glenn, but the Bible is a battering ram. The Bible just knocks all that down, doesn't it? The Bible is not the Bible. Listen, preach the word, not your opinions, not your rituals, not your ceremonies, not your traditions. Preach the word, Paul told Timothy, because there's coming a day when they can't endure sound doctrine. So, people don't want to hear the truth. They want to be pacified in their own lust. They want to be pacified in their own lust. Church-going people, listen, lots changed since I got saved years ago. Church people have really changed since the Lord saved me back in 1989. I'm just going to tell you some things that's amazing to me. And if you don't find them amazing, or if you think I'm wrong about this, we'll talk about it after the service. But I'm amazed today that the Christians think it's okay to drink booze and carry on. I'm amazed today at the Christians today that think it's okay to watch naked people on the television. Pornography is what we call that back when I was first saved. I'm amazed today at the people that think they can cuss like sailors now that they're Christians. I'm amazed at that. I always thought that when a person got saved, God cleaned their mouth up. I always thought that. I'm amazed today at the people that think it's okay to gamble today. It's amazing to me. All these things, this has happened in my lifetime. I'm saying this because when I first got saved, I knew these things were wrong. But we have turned into a nation where that's just crept in. I'm amazed today the people that shacked up saying they're Christians, living together, you know what I mean? Amen. Living together. I'm amazed at that. Because why is that? Well, I can tell you why. It's because preachers have quit preaching the word. They've quit preaching the word. I'm amazed today the way how immodest ladies dress. I'm amazed at that today. I tell people this all the time. Now, don't get mad at me. I tell people this all the time. If you knew how men thought, you wouldn't dress that way. And if you knew how men thought and dressed that way anyway, you're a very wicked person, lady. I'm amazed at the way we've went. Preach the word. The average so-called Christian would have been called a bold-faced heathen 100 years ago. That's just the facts. Paul warned Timothy they won't endure it, but he said, keep plowing anyway. You know what I'm doing this morning? I'm plowing. I'm plowing anyway. I'll stand before God one day. And I want to stand before the Lord and be able to say I told him the truth to the best of my ability. What you do with it, that's up to you. But I've got to do what I've got to do. Keep preaching. Keep telling folks to turn or burn. Keep telling folks to repent or perish. Preach the word. Preach the word. And number three, people are going to reject it. Yep. They're going to reject it. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul here says concerning his life. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. People are going to reject the truth. People rejected Paul. How bad did they reject him? Well, they cut his head off. How's that? Why are we so amazed when people don't like us? Jesus said, if they hate you, they hated me. Every one of the apostles died a violent death, except for John, and he was boiled in a pot of oil on the Isle of Patmos and exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Why should we be surprised if the world hates us? We're living in a day. I'm telling you, I'm so sick of it. I am so sick of it. You can't say this and you can't say that and you can't think this and you can't think that. Listen, I'm an American. As far as I know, I can say what I want to and think what I want to until that changes. I'm not worried about being politically correct. I'm not worried about fitting in. Let me just say this, because this is in the news every day, you need to hear this. That Black Lives Matter organization is a Marxist organization. Amen. They're communist. Nothing good about them. Nothing good about them. If you didn't know that, you research it. Their founders get on television. The founders get on the television every day and admit it. So unless you're living in a cave, you ought to know that. And here we are as a nation fawning all over them people. Bob Jones Sr. said we should line them up again. Now he's dead, been dead a long time, but he said we should line up the communists and shoot them. How's that for a preacher? We don't talk like that these days, do we? I've got too much velvet in my mouth to talk that way. I'm just telling you, folks, we're living in a dangerous time. We're living in a time where they're not going to take the truth. We're living in a time, and the only thing that, listen, I'm ready for the Lord to come back, aren't you? But the only thing that bothers me, listen, the only thing that bothers me is I know that He may not come back right away, and I've got children and grandchildren in this world. It bothers me. It bothers me because of that. But I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul said, and I'm quitting. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He realized he was about to die. He had stated in the letter to the Philippians that he had a desire to depart and be with Christ. You know, if I'd keel over right here, I hope I don't, but if I do, I'll be with Christ. Isn't that good to know that? Well, it's good for me to know that. I don't know if you know it's good for you. It's good for me to know that. Amen. If I would keel over right here, I'd be with the Lord. If you don't know that, then you need to do something about that. I'm afraid, like Lot's wife, we just love this world too much. We have driven our tent stakes too deep in this world. As I often tell you all, everything you see around you is going to burn up. Everything you see is going to burn up. Don't get too attached to this world. It's not what matters, is it? Things don't matter. God has blessed us. You know, that's one of the things that scares me about this nation, is God has blessed us so bountifully, and yet look how we've treated Him. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't enjoy what the Lord's done for us and enjoy the... I'm thankful for Him. I'm thankful for the blessings that He's given us. Everybody in this room, as far as I know, has got food in their cabinets and food in the refrigerator and a car to drive. Everybody here is pretty good shape. God has blessed us, has He not? We don't want to forget that that's temporary. That's temporary. I'm afraid we're like Demas. If you look down through there in verse 10, he says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." I've heard preachers debate, was Demas saved or not? The Bible doesn't really say, but whether he was saved or not, he forsook Paul. He may have forsook Christ. There's been a lot of people forsake Christ. You know that? A lot of people. Paul could say, in closing, Paul could say, "I fought a good fight." Can you say that? That's pretty convicting, isn't it? I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Every one of us have a course, don't we? Every one of us. Your course is not my course. But we all have a course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Let me just instill this in your heart today. Stay faithful. Stay faithful to God. He'll never let you down. When this is all over, and it's going to be over, when this is all over, you'll be glad if you stayed faithful. You'll be glad if you can say, like the Apostle Paul, "I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." Amen. I've kept the faith. You know, one of these days, I say this all the time, but one of these days, they'll lay us up here in a box. I want my kids to say he kept the faith. I want my kids to say he fought a good fight. Don't you? If you have kids, don't you want them to say that? If you got grandkids, don't you want them to say that? I do. Most importantly, though, I want to please the one who bought me. I want to please Jesus Christ. One question, and I'm quitting. Are you going to finish well? Are you going to finish well? A lot of Christians don't finish so well. Paul told those Galatians, he said, "You did run well." Are you going to finish well? I want to, don't you? I believe if we want to, he'll help us. Y'all believe that? Well, I'll tell you how much I believe that. I believe I couldn't do anything without him. I believe he saves me and he keeps me. Amen. And I believe he'll keep me to the end, don't you? Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad for that.